Gator, let's take a moment and say thank you to our sponsors at Fuji Sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've been working with us for a very long time, not only on this podcast, but also at the Academy. And I'm taking a peek at their website right now, and they have a brand new ultralight gi. Now, this is mind-blowing. I'm looking at my size. A2 is 2.75 pounds. I mean, that's under 3 pounds. That's mind-blowing.
I could even lift that. And go to their website, fujisports.com. Check it out. Anything you could need for your jiu-jitsu journey, you can find at fujisports.com.
Hey, it's been a while since we started Raw TV Project.
It's been a while since you started it. I did come in later, and I can't say enough about it, especially the new platform. It's really amazing, fully customizable, and you know a little bit more about the structure.
Well, so two things you need to know. One is the subscription service, which is $9 a month. You can get access to hundreds of videos, hundreds of drills, techniques, and so on in a very nice library categorized as you need them. But two different lessons. You can actually purchase those individually, and you own them, so the subscription is not tied to it at all. You can look at things like spider guard, half guard sweeps, half guard chokes, folding pass, and so on. There's so many of them out there. So take a look and see where you need help with the videos, right? 30%. If you type in Roll Radio as a code.
Who doesn't like saving money? Go to rollacademy.tv. What's up, everyone, and welcome back. If you haven't already, please remember to hit the like, share, subscribe, download, listen, and whatever other button there is, and leave us a review wherever you do listen. That ensures that we can continue bringing you the great guests and amazing content that you have come to expect. On this episode, we have another member of the original and legendary Carlson Gracie team, Ricardo Hay Diogo. Hay shares incredible stories about Master Carlson Gracie, the Carlson Gracie team, Hay's mindset for competition, his love for teaching and training after a hip replacement and severe heart attack. Here is the Roll Radio with one of the first people to establish a Carlson Gracie Academy in the United States and the owner of Hay Diogo's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Los Angeles, California, Ricardo Hay Diogo.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we are live. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. Let me put my computer on mute. I don't want to bake. I don't want any notifications popping up while we're doing this. I'm very good.
How was your morning? You look a little lost.
I've been having a rough morning, but I had a rough night. A lot of mat time last night, and then
You got beat up.
I did get beat up. Always get beat up.
Good.
Is it
good?
I don't know.
Hey, listen, we get to dip into some history today.
Yes,
this is this one is close to my heart. This is going to be a really good conversation. Professor Hay Diogo in the house. How are you, sir? How are you doing today?
Hi guys. How are you guys? Thanks so much for the invitation. You know, I'm happy to be here and talk a little bit about the Carlson Gracie history since when I started training at Carlson Gracie School. You know, thanks for the opportunity. You know,
no,
so happy to be here.
Absolutely, I was really happy that we were able to arrange this and have you on the show and have this conversation. I remember when you and I met. You probably don't remember this because this is 20 some years ago, but you came to visit Carlson Gracie in Chicago. The old academy in Chicago,
That's my beginning. That's my beginning in America, in Chicago.
Yes. And I remember we met once in a seminar, and you've made quite a bit of impression. And look at that, 20 some years later, we had this conversation. What a beautiful journey. Everything comes together.
The world move, you know, so one day we're going to see each other again for sure.
Listen, as I was looking at your Instagram, and recently you posted a picture, old school picture, very old school picture of the entire Carlson Gracie team. You have Ricardo Liborio in there, Vito Belfort, Pablo, and all the other guys. Do you know which picture I'm talking about?
Yeah. This picture, man, is like a very memorable picture because it happened in 1997 when I just started teaching. I moved from Chicago to Los Angeles I got invitation to teach on this gym called LA Jiu-Jitsu Academy in 30th Street and Crossing Heart in Hollywood. So, I forget what I want to tell.
Something about that picture with all those legends in
it. Yeah, so exactly. So, and then that time, that picture is exactly when these guys come to my gym where I used to teach. And Murilo supposed to fight Jerry Boland in Brazil, some MMA event. And Vitor Belfort was supposed to fight the first time in Randy Couture. So we closed the training in my gym there. And, you know, we trained hard, you know, and prepare both fighters, Murilo and Vitor Belfort, for the contest, you know. So unfortunately, Vitor lost the first fight and lost the second fight too. But, you know, he trained hard. We tried to prepare him on the best way. And Murilo, he went the event in Brazil against Jerry Bolander in 1997 mm-hmm. on Tijuca Tennis Club, you know? It's good memories.
Yeah,
and all the guys standing on the picture is black belt, and the other guys on the knees is like below brown belt or brown belt, you know?
And I'm looking at the picture, but there's nothing but literally like jiu-jitsu history in that picture, right? I mean, we have Carlson Sr., who obviously is a leader of that group, but then, you know, Murillo Bustamante, we had him on the show. We talked to him and Ricardo Liberio. I mean, great conversations. Do you feel, and then you are amongst those guys. By the way, you are like the biggest and the toughest in that picture. You know that?
Well, we from these guys is all from we all from the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Actually, Murillo is a little bit older than me in the gym. When I started training in 1981, and Castro Academy, Copacabana, Figueiredo Magalhães, 14. So he's already old blue belt. He have a sponsor already from company. Companies like a store. It means in the beginning when like a private business starts sponsoring jiu-jitsu, you know, in the very beginning. So this is a very famous surf store in Rio de Janeiro. It calls Company. And they already sponsored Murilo. Murilo is one of my big idols from the team, you know, like a very good fighter, very good person, very strategist on fight, you know. You know how move and how adapt to the game when he have to. Very cold mind, you know. He's one of the main guys for me, for the team, the Carson Grace team from my time. But when I start training, he's already old blue belt, you know. And very technical, you know. And so that big picture, it's about that time when we prepare those two fighters, you know.
You talk about beginnings and you know, Murillo is a blue belt. You are starting jiu-jitsu. Do you remember your very first day when you stepped into Carson Gracie Academy?
Yeah, very clear. Because, you know, a friend of mine, he's also brown belt when he took me there from Carson, from brown belt, Renato Frostá. His nickname is Macaquinho. You know, very tough fighter. Give a lot of tournaments for the gym. He played basketball with me when I'm a teenager, you know what I'm saying? And then we lose a little bit of connection. Then I saw him again at some event in Rio de Janeiro. And I told him, I asked him what he doing. And he told me, oh, I train jiu-jitsu. I'm brown belt already from the Grace family, Castro Grace. So long story short, he took me there to introduce me to jiu-jitsu. And I do judo when I'm young, you know? So, and before that, there's a funny story too. I went to a Coffee Rooster fight. It's illegal in Brazil, you know, in Rio. But, you know, people do under the table. So when I walk with this good friend of mine, André, he pointed me to Carson Grace, my instructor. So look, Carson loves Coffee Rooster fight. He trained Coffee Rooster to fight. I went to the farm and saw he trained. This I talk later. But, you know, and then he said, listen, that guy's the great, the Carson Grace from the Grace family, jiu-jitsu guy, you know, very famous, MMA, vale tudo. I said, okay, well, introduce it to me. So he introduced him to me, and then he's very, very open, you know, to people. Carson, he always smile. Oh, bichão, that's nice to know you do judo before, so it's going to be good combination for jiu-jitsu to show up in the academy. And then few time later, I saw Renato Frostá, my friend, and he's already brown belt for Carson. So He told my boy, he said, listen, I met Carson in this park, which the park. Oh, yeah, let's go there. Let's take a day. Let's go there. So he took me there first time. And then we walked through. The class already started. We came a little bit late. And then he introduced me to Carson. And then I bring the story. Carson, remember, I meet you on the park. Who said, oh, yeah, Michelle. Nice to have you here. Bro. Come on, go inside. Go inside. And then that's my introduction, you know. Throw you on the jungle, you know. You take care of yourself, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Look on the side, follow people, you know. That's my beginning there. Little by little, you start getting to the game. You start getting more knowledgeable, you know. Start picking the things, you know. But there's no special attention, you know what I'm saying? Everybody there, learning the hard way, you know. That's not always show us like a simple, effective thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why Jiu-Jitsu lose a lot when, unfortunately, he passed away. Is a big loss for the Jiu-Jitsu environment. You know what I'm saying? He makes a lot of difference on the sport, about details, about the way he show things, the eyes, he look the fighter, and he tell you, listen, you know where to go. So barely believe he have the eyes. He knows. You know, his whole life dedicated to this sport, you know. Jiu-Jitsu and Vale Tudo, MMA, mixed martial arts, you know, he lived there all his life. So his diagnostic about how you are, if you prepare, if you're not, if you're missing something, if you're behind something, is very unique. And I never see the one come close to that, how he passed the information, simple and effective, you know.
He definitely was a great man, and the knowledge that he had, not only about jiu-jitsu, but just people, how people are and who they are. And he really, at least for me, he gave me a lot of life advice, not about jiu-jitsu necessarily, but just life, how to do things, what, how to live, how to enjoy the life. What a great person he was. I always felt like he would do anything to help people. Did you feel the same way?
Yes, exactly. Hey, he doesn't care about money. You know, so many times in the gym after you're training, you know. So let's go eat something. Let's go eat something. So, and then we go. Him and like Alan Gosh, me, Rodrigo Medeiros, you know, Amaury Bittet, you know, Jamaris Perry. All this group in that time is very close to each other. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you go out after training, enjoy yourself, have a dinner, talk shit against each other. You know what I'm saying? It's so fucking funny, man. And just like beasts on the table, you know what I'm saying? You know, but very inside the rivalry, you know, everybody's friends, everybody love each other. The team is very, very close to each other, very helpful to each other, you know. And sometimes you do these social things on the side, go with Carson. So when we already ask for the bill, you know, Carson already pay for everything. Oh, the show. I pay everything already. Let's go. Let's go. Bye-bye. Let's go. Let's go. You know, hey, CDs, DVDs, you know, that's, he always do things like he give him a pleasure. He doesn't care about he's wasting money or he's not wasting money. He's going to give, he put on his mind, he's going to give you some happiness to him. He do it. He always live intensive, you know, his life, you know, one day after the other, but always do whatever he want to do. If he don't want to do it, he say in your face, no, I'm not going to do it. I have to do something else. That's it. And he do what he enjoy to do, or he make a joy for him.
He was a great person, but at the same time, he was a tough instructor. He was a tough coach. It was a tough jiu-jitsu, right? And if you knew,
because, you know, hey, like you're an instructor too, professor. You know, I know you're an instructor too. You know, you build your students, and you know each one the potential they have, and you know pretty much if they fight 100% or if they give up. If they see us give up, and he knows the potential, he talks shit, a lot of shit, you know. Bring on the side of the fuck, bro. Let the guy pass him. That fuck that. Fuck. Where's the guy? Oh my god. And tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of successful. Thank God, in my career in tournaments. You know, I give so many titles for the academy. You know, so many championships, like 11 times Rio de Janeiro champion, 4 times Brazilian champion, you know, division, open division, so Pan American champion. So I bring some titles, and Carson is very close to me too. A lot of times I assist him in instructions, you know, Then we go, like, I remember this great time, too, like, for like almost 2 years. We teach, we assistant, Carson, me, and Marcus Flesch, my teammates, too. He's in Amsterdam. And every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we go, me, Carson, and Marcus Flesch. And Carson always put me to drive the car. And he start putting his music, you know, Greek music and French music. Oh, my God. I said, Carson, what the fuck music is that? Shut up, hey. You like what? You like Madonna? You like Madonna? Fuck Madonna, hey. Fuck Madonna, Madonna. This is a classic music. And then we always argue on the good of the way, go and come back, you know what I'm saying? With him, you know, me and Flesch, and Flesch in the back seat just left, you know. We have a lot of fun. Man. He's the guy that I have a lot of history. We have a lot of histories with him, a lot of laughing, you know, from the situations, you know, the expressions that he created too. He created, you know, like Cleonte, Mutuca, Galo Corrido, you know, some expressions that he bring it on. And then we have some time to identify what that means, you know. So Carson, what the fuck means Cleonte? And then he said, oh, it's when somebody starts with you, you spend some instruction with the guy, you know, and then for no reason, he left you and go train with somebody else. This is a Cleonte, trainer, you know? So something like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something like you have the right words, like traitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this guy's a traitor. He betrayed me. So, but he created Cleonte, you know?
Yeah.
And then become on the jiu-jitsu environment. Everybody talk, you know, when that situation happened, people bring that, you know?
I remember I'll tell you a story, quick story. I was a white belt and I went to the tournament. I did a tournament and this was one of the first tournaments I did. And Carson is senior was sitting, but he was sitting on the opposite side of the room, like really far away. And my match is going, you know, and I get caught in a triangle. And then all I hear Carson stand up and ball across the whole room. Well, I escape from the triangle. I pass and I win the match. And then Carson comes up to me afterwards and goes, good job. Good job.
I believe you feel depression. and the words from, if you, I think you, the fact you hear his voice wake you up and make you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. He had a unique voice where you could hear him no matter where he was, wherever you were, you could hear him across the whole room.
Hey, I feel depression. I feel the presence a lot of times on my corner, you know what I'm saying? I always look for him. He always next to me when I'm supposed to fight, and he know he prepare us. He always on my corner, you know, but just the presence to know he's there. Increase the power, man. Believe it or not, my power is increased. And I believe all the might make sure, you know?
Yeah, Miguel Torres told us that like he...
Oh, Miguel Torres, I love that kid, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he told us the same thing.
Big fan.
Yeah, he told us the exact same thing, that when he was around you, you felt his power. So if you were fighting, you could absorb that and you could use it, which I think that's an amazing thing.
And he doesn't talk much in your corner. He makes sometimes one or two words that really wake you up, you know, and say, that's it, you know? But he doesn't talk all the time. Hey, do this, do that, do this, do this. Hey, put your hand here. No, very quiet, but sometimes he sees some opportunity and then he yelling. And then if you connect with him, you peek and do it, you know? And it helps. Helpful.
Do you
always be helpful
when you are starting, when you are white belt and blue belt, and you train with Carson Senior, and you have all these amazing guys next to you? Do you realize how big this is? Do you realize that all these people are going to really be pioneers? They're going to create jiu-jitsu. And this is just mind blowing for me because I started much later than you. But do you realize what's happening around you when you were back then, when you were white belt, blue belt?
You don't believe. When I started in 1981, it's already huge in Rio de Janeiro and Manaus. That's it. It's not all over Brazil. Today, you have jiu-jitsu in all five continents. Whatever continent you go, if you Google, you can find jiu-jitsu gym. And that time is only big in Manaus and Rio de Janeiro. You know, you went to the first tournament. I couldn't believe the crowd. How many people to support the third tournament? One fucking match for like, I don't know how many people. Hey, white belt, blue belt. Hey, you fight the first fight, 8 o'clock in the morning. Second fight, 2:30. Third fight, you know, if you have like 7 o'clock p.m. The final close to midnight. All day there waiting, you know, watch fights, adrenaline, you know what I'm saying? He's already healed. And I know on the through the years, with more people every year getting more involved in the business, and then in 1996, you know, when I moved to America, jiu-jitsu is already like huge all over in Brazil, and start come to North America and a little bit to Europe, you know what I'm saying? And then in North America grows fast too, you know. Europe too now, every state, every country you go there is jiu-jitsu gym, you know what I'm saying? Some countries, you know, doesn't have like a black belt, but you know, brown belts, purple belts, but jiu-jitsu is everywhere. And I can see the future, you know, it's gonna be maybe a martial art, you know, for the future, you know, like the biggest about numbers and people involved in. Because, you know, I believe if people see how effective it is, you know, about control positions, you know, and move, you know, self-defense program, you know, jiu-jitsu is good, conditional, you know. You train jiu-jitsu pretty much every day, you know, you'll be in great condition. Your cardiovascular, it's amazing. Your sense, you know, your reactions is always sharp, you know what I'm saying? You always, you know, quick and move, you know, give you good flexibility. Jiu-jitsu is a lifestyle, you know, I love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, well, we all do. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah,
we love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you mentioned your first tournament. Talk about that a little bit. Do you remember that tournament? Do you remember the day? What was going through your head? Like, how did you feel that day? Because tournaments then were very different than tournaments today.
I don't understand well your question.
Your first tournament that you a moment ago you talked about. You went to your first tournament.
First tournament.
Yeah. How did it feel? What happened? Tell us the story.
Adrenaline, high adrenaline. You know, that's the thing about tournaments. You know, there's people, they cannot control well adrenaline when they go to the tournament, so they don't show what they show inside the gym. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Tournament is a lot about how you control your nerves, how you prepare your mind, especially in long terms if you have to go fight one after the other. You know what I'm saying? More strong you be mentally, more you control your nerves, better you're gonna react in the hard times in the when you feel like out of breath, you know what I'm saying? The adrenaline consume your stamina if you don't control the adrenaline, you know what I'm saying? So high adrenaline, but self-confidence, I always have 100% of me, you know? I always have a playing game, you know? Always try to take the guy down. That's my, hold the gi. You're not going to be, you see some fights for my fight. You never see my fight, you stalling fight. I take the risk. I like to take the risk. I'm there to fight and I'm there to win. That's my mind when I go to the competition, simple like that. And I commit myself with my training. I train hard. I train every fucking day. 2 times a day, you know, do technique, you know. I prepare. So my self-confidence is 100%. No doubt. At least, maybe you'll be same than me, better than me. I don't believe you're going to be. That's my mind without underestimate anybody. Always shake your hand. Good life, good look, good fight for you. I believe in myself. I'm going to kick your ass. I believe. And I have success for my career. You know? Always play this game, respect everybody, make friends. I just have friends. Then I know I don't have any enemies.
What do you think is more important? What do you think is more important? The jiu-jitsu technique or your mind when it comes to competition?
I think you know, heart means a lot. You know, heart. You know, put your soul there, especially in competition. You know what I'm saying? You can take lose, but you don't want. I don't want to lose. I'm not gonna lose. That's my belief. I'm gonna win. You know, and that's, I have a successful career in jiu-jitsu because I believe in my game. I prepare myself for any event that I sign up to go through. You know, I make four challenger fights in Brazil. Choose the first one, jiu-jitsu, 20-minute fight. You know, one is a contest about Castle Grace against Barra Grace. Five fights. We win all five fights, you know, 20-minute fight. You know, so I deal well and I prepare myself inside the Castle Grace Academy, because Castle Grace Academy at that time, everybody stop, everybody's a good trainer. You know, you can come in the academy in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, you're going to find hard people to train, going to give you hard time. That's how you getting better, hard time. You have to have hard time. I always look for tough trainers for me. People's going to give me hard time to escape, to it's going to make me move, you know. You have to got your ass kicked to progress and get it better, for sure. You always smoke people, you never progress, you know. And you drop your confidence. You have to get into troubles to wake you up and fix the gap. You know what I'm saying? That's my understanding. That's how I always prepare myself. I always look for the best and strong and technicals and hard times to see how I'm going to react, especially before close to the tournament. I always work on my weakness.
Is that something that Carlson gave you, or did you have that already going in?
Carlson gave that. Talking. Hey, let's work. Okay, let's put this. Fucking change this hook here, put it here, and do a lot of reps. That's the only thing you miss. Okay. So I listen, I do it, fix. You know, side control. Hey, instead of put this arm under the neck, on the hook there, the arm fit, and dive yourself under him. So I listen, I do a lot of repetitions like this, example, you know. But, you know, all the base, all the information comes to Carlson for me. Like I say, I have a little bit background in judo, I have good takedown skills. You know, when I have my legs better, my knees better, my hips, you know, and I always look for takedowns, you know, and then in the future, when the damage starts to show up, no problem. I train, I pull guard. If I cannot take the mother fella down, I just pull guard and I believe I'm going to strip the guy or try to tap him from the guard, one or the other. I adjust my game because I lost the confidence on the legs for takedowns, knee surgeries, hips replacement now, you know.
We're all getting older.
We have to adjust.
Yeah, we have to adjust.
He is still 25, you know. That's the problem. So these things here pay the price.
Yeah. When you look at the tournaments, you know, 20, 30 years ago to what it was in Brazil and tournaments today, what's the big difference that you see? What changed?
Organization.
Okay.
Today, they event think more about the fighters than they how we used to think in the past. You know, like I say, it's a long way if you fight a tournament at that time. The first time that I see two matches going the same time is on the first Brazilian championship in 1993 in Rio de Janeiro on Hebraica. It's a Jewish club in Rio de Janeiro, very close to Castle Grace Academy in Copacabana Beach too. You know, that's the first time I saw two mats. And the mat is like the green color, old green color, you know, like it burns a lot. All tournaments, when you finish the tournament, I don't have skin on the top of the fingers and on the top of the toes. Everything burns on the mat, you know what I'm saying? 2 weeks to recover fingers and toes, you know? And so, of course, I think they speed for the fight right now, the pace for the fight right now, especially low weight divisions, you know, it's different. It's much more peak, it's much more faster, you know what I'm saying? And the setup is already, a lot of setups changed from my time, you know what I'm saying? But then I still also believe the old jiu-jitsu style game killed this fucking setup, you know what I'm saying? If you play tight, kill space, there's no bleeding ball. There's no this shit that people do right now. I don't believe it works. You know? You have to know how to kill. You know, but people cross arm over the neck. People go to the leg, start bleeding ball, start spin for the back. Fish the guy's neck. I want to see guy come inside. Come.
Professor, are you saying that you don't do better in bolo?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I tell the students how to try to kill the betting ball, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, to try to don't let the guy come between your legs.
Mm-hmm.
you control the guy's neck, the guy cannot come between your legs. You know? See what's there. Control the neck, give the lapel under the armpit, pass for the hand behind the neck. You can give space here, the guy cannot come through. You know? But if you cross over the head, put your hips on the ground, the guy with your belt starts spinning under you, you fall.
Yeah.
Then, when you recover, you're going to be, when you're going to see, you're going to be on the bottom, he's on the top.
Yeah.
Or on your back. Yeah.
You know, one of the beautiful things about jiu-jitsu, I think, is the fact that today, doesn't matter how old you are, and you can really do jiu-jitsu for a very, very, very long time. And we have, you know, even older students who are able to do jiu-jitsu, you know, and even, I mean, look, I mean, all three of us, we are not 20, right? And we still do it. Do you feel
58.
Yeah. Do you feel that you can do jiu-jitsu for, you know, until, you know, I don't know, 80, 90?
Hey, you know, there's a phrase that I always play with my students. I say about damages, you know, if you cannot fix, make work. You know, I'm going to make my body work to the point he can work. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, it's going to, I plan to postpone jiu-jitsu in my life for so many years still. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I give up soon, you know, about teaching, about being on the mat, you know, and it's on my blood, jiu-jitsu, you know. I love to be on the mat. I love to see my people here. I love the hard work, you know, I love to give people hard work. And I love to teach. I love jiu-jitsu. It's a lifestyle for me.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. No, I agree. I mean, it's, and you know, you are one of the pioneers right now and one of the guys who really drive the jiu-jitsu to what it is today. So we do appreciate everything that you do for jiu-jitsu, for your students and everybody around the world. Hey, listen, what was the one lesson that you learned from Carson Sr.? What's the one thing, like just one, the most important one? Was there one that is in your mind?
Hey, never let nobody pass your fucking guard. Hey, listen, I swear to God to you, nobody never passed my guard in tournament. Nobody. I swear. Nobody. You know?
Yeah,
always keep this on my mind. Hey, let me tell you something. Come here. Nobody can pass your guard, okay? Simple like that. If you, your guy don't pass you don't got your guard, you don't have to escape. So just don't give, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being in a class. I remember being in a class and somebody in that class asked, how do you escape side control? And Carson's answer was, don't let him pass the guard.
there's another phrase that he always, I hear he yelling for me in the tournament. If you see some tapes with my fight, you can see him yelling behind, hey, come here. Calma, hey, porra! Calma, control, hey, calma! Don't. So take it easy! Control! Don't move! Control! I always very hyper, always push the rhythm, and a lot of times I hear it, he comes, drop the rhythm, stop down! Come down, control! That's two things, he's like very shy for me about things he told me, you know? Of course, there's so many things he told me in my relationship with him for so many years, you know, that I cannot remember right now. But I have so many memories good with him, you know, so many times. He got like a sponsor, a restaurant sponsor for me. A lot of times after the training in the morning class, we go out for this restaurant that he got a sponsor for me to eat together. And then he bring a lot of stories for me about his family, you know, and the train inside his family with his brothers, you know. But the family from his side, Carlos had 22 or 23 kids, you know, with three different wives. And Carson is the old male. And Carlos Gracie Jr., the owner from the Federation, IBJJF, he's the youngest male, you know. So a lot of people on the family to train together too, you know, to build the art inside the family, you know what I'm saying? And Carson always open his skills, you know, his real skills to the students. And his father and Elio, they're not very happy with that. They think Carson's supposed to take some movement secret inside the family, don't open for the students. And that's the reason why Carson got the point to leave the Grace Academy and open his own academy, Copacabana. I don't met the Grace Academy, unfortunately. It's not from my time, but I used to be on the Rio de Janeiro, downtown Rio de Janeiro. And then Carson moved to Copacabana. I don't know what year exactly. Open his own gym and call Carson Grace style, Carson Grace Jiu-Jitsu.
The academy, the Copacabana academy is still there, right?
Still there.
It's still
unfortunately,
open, right?
Man, the end of last year, the storage on the first floor got fire and reached the academy. It got some damage on the academy, but thank God the guy take care about the academy there right now. He got some sponsors. They put some money. They rebuild again the gym. I think the gym now looking good again. Thank God. Forgot these people behind to still support, because that gym, there's a lot of memories on that gym, you know?
I was about to say, you visit, when was the last time you went there?
I went there last year. You know, last I passed the New Year's Eve and Christmas in Brazil last year, you know? And I did go there for almost 5 years, but I went last year. And great time. I went to the gym there. I teach there. The guy, the instructor there. All the people there, I don't know. There is a new people, new clue, you know? Actually, after Carson passed away, the vibe, the gym changed, you know what I'm saying? The memories are still there, but the atmosphere from the gym is different.
But when you walk into these rooms and you walk into the academy, you have to have a lot of memories from the time when you were there, memories. Right?
So many memories, man. Yeah. So many memories. But listen, the gym where he's still there right now is the second one. I start on the first one. It's the next door, because the next door now is like Universal Church.
Okay.
They rent the space. They used to be the first space from Castle Grace. A small, narrow, tiny room, mm-hmm. you know? Not very big, you know? And he has also on the first floor another small room for teach private class, you know? So I start on that room. And then a few years later, he got an opportunity to rent the next door. That's where the gym, you can see right now when show up, Carson Grace Gym, that's where the second gym is now, you know? But I used to train first on the first one, next door. And then he connected both gyms. So the big gym become for group class. And the small gym where he starts become for the purple belt and higher training against each other. So we don't believe the fight is training. And sometimes the white, the blue, the high level belts, they come on the other the room. For example, when I'm a blue belt, I'm not allowed to go on the other room when he opened the second room and put the second room for the group class. Only the high level belts, purple higher, can go to the other room. So, and then people start coming, pick me up. Okay, he's on, let's go train if he's there. They took me to the other room to train when I start to win the tournament, fight the tournament and getting good. So people start picking me up, and then I'm allowed to be there. Old blue belt, and I already teach the kids program in Castle School too. And always good training, man. But the regular group of guys work on the other new gym, on the other new room. And the people old school training on the small room where he began to teach class again when he left the family.
How many people were in a class?
Oh, man, like 30-something, you know. Always big class, you know. Morning class and evening class is the busiest one. 8 o'clock in the morning and 7:30 p.m. with Carson. He teach. 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 p.m. And then, for a while, Carson Jr. teach the 3 p.m. class in the afternoon. Him and Marcelo Alonso. For a while, they teach this class too. People also enjoy. I enjoy a lot of this class too. You know, a lot of good fights, you know. And then, you know, we finish the training. We take the gear off. We walk 2 blocks. We go to the ocean. Jump on the ocean. Body surf. You know.
That's a good
fruit
way to end
salad.
It.
Fruit salad. You know the red. You know. Uh-huh. You know. Oh my God! Great time. Great time.
Professor, let's talk about you for a moment. Let's talk about, you know, how is life going for you? You've been teaching for a very, very long time. You obviously have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge passed on from Carson Sr. And many others, for that matter. You know, why do you love teaching so much?
Yeah, I like the complexity from jiu-jitsu, you know, how complex it is. Sometimes you learn some new details from white belt, from blue belt, you know what I'm saying? You be on the mat, it's eternal learning. You always learn something. Never yesterday is going to be the same day today. You're always going to move different. You're always going to see something different. They can sometimes blink your eyes, and you can add in your information to the past, you know what I'm saying? You can add in your instruction. You can add in your own game to deal in situations the same like you saw in that time, you know what I'm saying? I think to be on the mat, it helps you a lot to develop your jiu-jitsu, to help you develop your knowledge, you know, about techniques, about details, you know, because everybody plays different. And it doesn't matter if we train constantly, me and you against each other, all the training, I can push for the same way, but the movement, how we're going to go, the training is going to be different. On this, every day, I think you're learning something, you know, every day you pick something different for you. Then I think it's a positive, it's law, add something more knowledgeable for you. The fact you'll be more on the mat to be instructor, you know, and teach people and see different games and see different setups, you know. And jiu-jitsu makes you think and think quick. That's what I like. You know, if you take a little bit time to think in hard times, trouble become worse. That's first to step. That's why you have to access quick what you're going to do, have the quick answers. And that's what makes me interested about these martial arts, you know what I'm saying? Make you move it quick and acting quick. You know, jiu-jitsu gives you that feeling, especially when you got more mature, you got more skills, you got instructor, you have so many years on the mat, teach people, see different people develop, you know what I'm saying? It's an eternal learning, you know, never end.
Do you think that one, somebody can really understand and learn everything in jiu-jitsu? Is that even possible?
I saw a lot of people. I saw some guys that I'm a big fan about fighters. They pretty much when they go through, you know what I'm saying? It's a very good competitor. It's about skills in attack and counters too. You know, in both ways, they very sharp, you know. I can give you some names, you know, that I'm big fans, you know. I like Murilo Bustamante, like I told you, you know. Alan Góes, you know. André Galvão, Xande Ribeiro, you know. All these guys, Pereira, big fan, you know. Vitor Shaolin, big fan. Roger Grace, big fan, you know. Kron, big fan. These guys, you're never going to see boy fight. Leandro Lowe, these guys have the answers. On the top, on the bottom, you know. These guys, too, it's new generation, you know what I'm saying? I forget, this win the open division last world.
Victor?
Meregalo. These guys, yep. they good everywhere. You know, hard to sweep, hard to deal when they're on the top. You know, they have the answers. You know, that's like a lot of time on the mat roll with different game styles. You know what I'm saying? You have to get in good. You have to get in timing.
Do you think jiu-jitsu is changing as time goes on? Or like, I'm thinking like 10 years or 20 years from now, all these good guys, are they still going to be good or new people will come in because the jiu-jitsu has changed and, you know, we get older?
One thing I think it changed a lot is the conception on the during the fight, how you're going to end. A lot of people now, they fight for points.
Yes.
Or advantage. And a lot of stalling fights. Some black belts fight ugly to watch. They don't risk anything. They just got one advantage and stole the rest of the fight. The other one cannot move. They have freedom, say shit. You know, and the fight goes like that. The guy win by one advantage. What the fuck is one advantage for a black belt? Tell me.
Why? Tell me why. Why is that happening?
Well, because the rules help. Because they developed this stupid advantage, you know. Of course, if the guy starts on the top of the fight, since the beginning of the fight, end on the fight, on the top, and if I'm a head free, I'm going to give to the guy. If the guy don't got reverse and the guy on the top look for aggressive, look for the fight, I'm going to give the winner for him. Simple like that. But people now play to got an advantage, almost got, of course, I'm pretty sure they try to got it, but they don't got it. The guy recover advantage. And then they take this advantage like a big prize and stall the fucking rest of the fight. And nothing happened. But the rules help. The referee is supposed to talk. Listen, move. You don't move. Okay, take a point. Okay, it's like there, but it's too long. A lot of fights, there's not much action because people don't take risks. They're scary. Yeah, they don't confident. You know, I think this is one thing changed big time from my time. In my time, people look more for finish fights.
Yes.
And it's a point, real point. There's no advantage. You know, at that time.
Yeah, I agree. When you watch fights from, you know, 80s, 90s, even 2000s, I feel like there was a lot of takedowns. There was a lot of aggressive passing. It was definitely submissions, at least trying to submit. And today,
yeah,
it's more strategic. I don't know. Like, everything is all about points and advantages.
You know, Castle never told us to pull guard. Today, white belts, they pull guard. They don't have much knowledge to play guard. What is better to play when you don't have much knowledge? I told this to the top. You look for the top. Take the mother fella down. Got the top position. You know what I'm saying? Pull guard. What kind of knowledge you have so much to have guard? To have good sweep. Have good finish. Okay. Why you pull guard? You know? That's Castle always tell us. Why you pull guard? You white belt. Blue belt. Pull guard. Got the top. Take this guy down. Single leg. Double leg. Always single. He show a lot. Single leg. Double leg. Or Katagurum. Kataguruma. We trained this so many times. It's effective. It's simple. And you end on the fight on the ground on top. That's the goal. That's what I'm looking for.
Is that how you teach your white belts and blue belts? I mean, is that your strategy for them? No guard pulling and we take downs.
There is some white belts here, sit down around here, you can ask. But I always tell them this, you know. Why you pull fucking guard? You have good guard. You know how to deal with guard. No. So better you to play top.
I love it.
Okay. If he likes to play bottom, but he's a white belt. If you go to the bar, okay, you deal with. But look for the top. That's what I tell. You know?
A moment ago, you said jiu-jitsu is complex. It's complicated. There's a lot of, you know, complexities around it. Do you think jiu-jitsu is hard? Is it difficult?
Oh, it takes a long time to make sense.
Is that why people quit jiu-jitsu often?
Maybe frustration, you know what I'm saying? Getting beat, don't see progress. But this is a lot of faults for the instructor, too. The instructor has to try to keep the students, no matter what level he is, white, blue, black, brown, purple, black, motivating the class. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to see my students boring the class. Look at him. He's like a down face, you know, cross. I'm saying, but listen, get up. Let's do fucking something. You know, do technique, repeat. People, I show the technique, people do 2-3 times, start talking, cross there, my friend, let's do it. Move. You know, fuck that. I don't want to leave you boring on my fucking class. No at all. You know, I want to make you busy. I want to show you jiu-jitsu. I want to help you increase your jiu-jitsu. You know, no special attention for anybody. I watch everybody doing technique. I try to correct the people when I see some people make mistakes, you know what I'm saying? That's why I try to be very honest when I pass the information, you know what I'm saying? Simple honesty with confidence. If I don't have confidence, I train a little bit more the technique before I pass. I don't pass technique for anybody before I try first. And so just because you show I see beautiful, I don't try and I pass to my students to impress my students. No, not me. I like to deal with the technique, training, repeat, see if it's effective, it's going to work realistically. Technique, when the guy don't react, everything works. I want to see some shit work when the guy reacts, you know? Then I saw a lot of videos like it. I'm not going to go into details, but, you know, works when the guy don't do nothing. The guy move a little bit, you already feel that fucking move, you know? Simple is always the best. Effective, like a Carson.
Professor, let me ask you, how many times a week do you train right now?
Say it again, I don't understand.
How many times a week do you train?
Man, I try to train three times maximum with my body take. You know, I still recover the hips replacement. I do like it. July 19 is going to be 1 year now. You know, I build a lot of confidence, but still not 100%. A lot of things I cannot do, you know. I try to push myself like 2-3 times a week, move a little bit. No high intensity, you know, but just to get that feeling, you know, that unique about training jiu-jitsu. Sometimes you feel like training jiu-jitsu, but for some reason, if you're not training because you have injury, you have some issues on your body, and then you go do something else, like you wait. I go every day to go to gym too, wait a little bit, not heavy, just to make the bone a little strong, but it's different feeling. Jiu-jitsu is unique feel. If you feel like training jiu-jitsu, only jiu-jitsu is going to kill that feel. You do something else, okay. Something parallel, something plus, but jiu-jitsu is my main thing.
There's no, yeah.
But unfortunately, my body cannot take every day anymore. You know, I cannot. I have to, you know, the age comes. Like I say, I still think young. I don't agree about getting old. I fight against, you know, I like to be active. I be active. I recovered too, like 3 years ago, I have a heart attack, big heart attack. I don't know if you guys know that. No. In 2019, you know, it's a tough year for me, 2019. A lot of things bad happen. You know, like people say, sometimes one thing happens bad, a lot of things come together behind. Yeah. But in the end, you're always going to see the blue sky again. That's my belief. You know, I go through some hard times, and that's what my cardiologist told me. Hey, you have to make some change in the training. You cannot be out of breath anymore. You know, like if overdo it, use it too much power and then start push too much the air, not health for my heart anymore. I have to deal with this shit. I have to adjust my rhythm. I have to adjust my game at some point. What I'm going to do? I'm still alive. Thank God. I'm still on the mat. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to have a second chance from God. Be on the mat, still with my people, still pass the art, help. Keep the lineage, Carson Grace, you know, progress, never die. Carson Grace forever, you know? That's what I try.
Well, I was going to ask, even before the heart attack and the hip, how had your game changed as you were getting older? So into your 50s, into your middle 50s, what were you doing differently?
Just the intensity, the way that I like to fight, you know? Always look for the fight, always push the rhythm, you know what I'm saying? Why now if I push the rhythm too hard and I start getting out of breath, I have to stop, you know, because, you know, maybe I can have another heart attack. I have a heart attack after training. I get off after training with one of my purple belts, Navy Steel, Mike, and I start feel back pain on my right side. He said, hey, you're not looking good. I said, no, I think I put the mask. I go home. No, get in my car. I'm going to take you to the hospital. So long story short, I have a major heart attack. And I don't know, probably from stress, you know, it's the year also when I broke up with my ex-wife. And then in the end of the year, I lost my gym. Then I did 20 years, you know, then I have the heart attack. One thing over the other, you know, so tough year, but thank God that everything getting better. You know, and then we reach the COVID, you know, a lot of people lost business. Thank God. I still have the doors open. My crew, little by little, start coming back again. I have a lot of newcomers, white belt. Thank God I'm here alive and still have the doors open, still keep my routine, you know, try to be safe and try to be positive that things are going to be better always, every day, one day at a time.
Well, I love the fact that you recovered well, and I'm really happy that you do feel better. Listen, let me ask you this, because not a lot of people know actually this, that your Hay is your name, is your nickname.
No.
That's not your actual name, correct?
No. My real name is Ricardo Diogo. I signed my name in America, Ricardo Diogo, but I have four names. Ricardo Luiz de Moraes Diogo. That's my full name. But I just signed up Ricardo Diogo. So Hay becoming Hay is like a nickname.
Yeah.
Because all my close friends, I call them like, fala meu rei, tell me meu rei, what's up, rei? And then they start calling me rei because I call my close people rei. You know, rei in Brazil means king.
King,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they in America, they sometimes they call me King Diogo. I say, no, King Diogo, no, rei Diogo. Oh, he got you.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that. That's interesting. That's an interesting part.
Hey, it's not my name. It's a nickname.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Listen, Professor, before we finish, we do a very interesting thing at the end of the episode, okay? A guest we had before you, the episode before you, asked a question, but they didn't know that you're going to be answering that question. Okay, and so Gary has the question for you. He's going to ask you the question. Let's see where this is going to go.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is from Matt Thornton, and he wants to know something that you think is true that most people find untrue or maybe even offensive. I'm a little worried. So, what's something that you believe that most people do not believe?
Hey, I don't understand the question well. Tell me again.
What is something that you believe that most people do not believe or think is
true? In myself. I believe in myself.
Yeah? Yeah. And so have there been times in your life where people didn't believe in you and you had to prove them wrong?
It doesn't matter if they don't believe in me. I believe in myself. I believe I'm going to make a change if it's not good for me, for better, for sure, always.
Let me ask you, where you are very confident. You're very confident. Where's that come from? Where's the the roots of that confidence?
Because everything I do in my life, I dedicate. If I like it, I dedicate myself, and I believe. I prepare. I train that thing to be good on that thing. If it gives me pleasure, if it gives me joy, you know, I train. I commitment. I give myself. I put my heart. I put my soul. You know, and I become good. I do four sports of my life. Always be good on there. I start to extreme in class when my parents put me and my sister when I was young. Be very suspect for competition. And then I do judo to 8 years to 12 years. And then 12 years, I start basketball, play 9 years basketball, 3 different clubs, dedicated, they pay for my scholarship, you know, be good. And then I start 19 years old, jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And good career in jiu-jitsu too. So everything I do in my life, I give myself because I enjoy what I'm doing. Or I don't do, I give up and I say, listen, daddy, I don't want to do it. I want to do something else, you know? But everything when I do it for purpose to be good on that shit, you know? And I have self-confidence because I commit to myself. Simple like that.
Is that the hard part for a lot of people, that commitment, to themselves?
I try to put on my students, on my people, mind about commitment is important for your progress. You know, more you do things, more you do that thing, better you're going to be.
Yeah.
Better you're going to learn. More details you're going to pick. You know what I'm saying? Everything with consistency make you be good. You know? For sure. You have to connection the technique and the cardiovascular. You know, you have to be technical. Today, a lot of fights, they decide who has the best condition in the end. In the end, mm-hmm. You know, who controls better their stamina in long term? Who is a strong mind? Who don't give up here mentally? You give up mentally, bye-bye, everything. Jiu-jitsu, that's a good thing too. If you still believe to the end, 3 seconds, 5 seconds enough for you to change the scenario, step the mother fella, you win the fight. If you believe, if you don't, nothing your instructor, your friends, your group can do for you. If you give up here, bye-bye, fight.
So how can you train yourself to not give up? How can you become stronger in your head?
I just move one side to the other to find the answer. Simple like that. I don't stall and take too long to think what I'm going to do. But, you know, like I say, jiu-jitsu takes a long time for things to make sense quick. And you do the right thing to escape from that problem. You know, it's not easy. Like I say, more you on the mat, more you start to deal with that thing and pick these details. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Nothing but wisdom. What do you think, Gary?
I'm a huge fan of the passion. And the commitment is amazing. And I just want to say thanks for sticking with it all these years and how inspirational. I had no idea about the heart attack. So to hear that story, I think is going to be very inspirational for a lot of people. So thank you.
Are you doing good? Are you doing good right now, health wise? Are you healthy?
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, I always push myself, man. Unfortunately, I almost overdo it, things, you know. But like I say, it gives me pleasure. Sport is my life. I like to live sport inside the sport environment, you know. Do different sports every day. I love to swim, bicycle, you know. Go to the gym, then I go every day pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Train jiu-jitsu, you know. I walk on the soft sand, you know. I do a lot of physical therapy for my hip. Now they recover on the soft sand. I love it, you know. It takes like the outdoors and gives me a lot of pleasure to do sports, you know. I think sport keep your mind health, keep your body, your physique health, you know what I'm saying? Do sports every day. Keep sports in your life.
Do you ever sit down and do nothing?
Yeah, I sit down after lunchtime inside with my house on my special king chair, you know, recline, you know. My two dogs, my Pit Bull and my Jack Russell next to me, you know, my best friend, you know. And rest a little bit, you know, and make some therapy with myself, you know, smoke a cigar sometimes, you know.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, it's my brother.
Wonderful.
Good for you. All right, Professor.
It's very nice to talk to you guys. Thanks so much for the opportunity. You know?
Thank you.
Absolutely. We've been in this for an hour, so let's wrap this up. But before we go, where can people find you? Like, if anybody wants to visit your academy, where's your academy? Talk about that a little bit. Where are you at?
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, 3 years ago, you know, I lost my main academy. When I moved to California, I opened it up. For 19 years. So the owner decided to sell the building. So I moved to this new location. I'm here. So far now, in first July, it's going to be 2 years. It's on Venice Boulevard, almost across the street from the Venice High School. The gym called Broxton is a boxing gym on the first floor. And I put the jiu-jitsu on the second floor. You know, everybody's welcome if you'll be in the area. The number from the gym is 12923 Venice Boulevard, 90066, second floor. Schedule 10 o'clock in the morning to 11:30 for adult class. Evening class, Monday to Thursday, 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. Kids program, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 to 7. Everybody's welcome. Thanks so much if you watch this podcast with these two great guys. Thanks for the opportunity again. You know, I hope you guys enjoy.
Thank you absolutely. So much. Absolutely.
Professor, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all the wisdoms and story. And I'm hoping to visit soon. I'm hoping so. Gary, you coming with me?
Yeah, let's do it. Out to Cali. I've only been once. Got to go again.
It's going to be a pleasure to have you guys here, guys. We share some techniques together. It's going to be awesome. It's always good. You always can learn something new.
Every day.
Maybe the same technique, but, you know, some little detail then. You have yours, I have mine.
Absolutely.
We can share.
That's why we love it. That's why we love it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.